And that's not even in human form. That's a force. That's a disembodied force that is simply trying to eradicate free will.
I know myself. I was always an individual before I went in, but I can say that I had this big fight within myself because I, like, everything inside of me was screaming, you know, you're going to have to give up your individuality and everything else. And it was always, during the time that I was in the military, it was always this inner battle that I had. And it did affect me more than I ever let anybody know. But it really bothered me. I mean, like, I used to tell people, you know, I feel like a big hypocrite when we go and bust, you know, drug smugglers, and not with coke or anything like that. That I felt at least I was doing something. But then I started to notice things about how the DEA would come in and pick up the drugs, and it would, like, they were complete dicks to us, you know, when we would offload it off the ship, and I used to ask them what they did with it, and one guy said sarcastically, "We burn it." And I was like, "Yeah, you burn it. You probably put it back on the street and sell it." You know, this is when I was in the military. And I started, that kind of stuff started to, you know, I already, that was my inner, that was, you know, the person I was, the individual fighting against this drone that they wanted me to. But I know after 9/11, again, another trauma-based mind control event, they used that to sucker people in that were individuals. Because I know so many people in the military that are artistically inclined and they're beautiful human beings, and we would sit and have conversations, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing in the military? Right. You don't belong here. You know, I don't belong here. And I guess the awakening for me really occurred was when I got hurt, because now I was no longer a useless drone, Mark. Now right. I was, you know, I was broken, and I was cast aside and replaced with a fresh 18-year-old, and I was like, wow. I was very disillusioned because I was Golden Boy one day, and the next day I was dog crap. And that's when that inner fight started to, you know, for the longest time it was always a 50-50 match. And then that was when it started that, you know, my inner self was like, I can't put up with this crap anymore, right. You know. But see, they don't let you have any sort of individuality. I am covered in tattoos. When I was in the military, I would get tattooed all the time. I, you know, just like I get tattooed now. And sometimes even more so. And I actually, they tried to write me up and bring me up on charges for desecration of government property. Luckily, wow. One of the corpsmen in there told the captain of the base to chill out and pointed out guidelines that I could have tattoos. And he pretty much, you know, was able to get her off my rear end. But she wanted to bring me up on charges for destruction of government property. Because you contract out with them. And sure. You know, I got to tell you, when I signed that contract in MEPS, in the Military Entrance Processing Center, I got to tell you, Mark, that as soon as I signed it, my soul was screaming, you just made the worst mistake of your life. And I even said, I handed the paper in, and I said I went home and I said to my mother, I said, why do I have this feeling I made the worst mistake of my life? Why do I have this feeling? And it was my individual inside screaming, because I think it knew what was going to happen. You know, what I was going to go through. And luckily, I was my inner soul, my soul itself, my inner being, my individuality is much stronger than other people's. My sense of individuality is stronger.
And so they eventually came through.
Exactly. It was able to shine through. Even for all the crap they piled on, it was able to come through. But even I was put under that mind control of, you know, you have to be part of the group, the collective. And when you go to the Occupy Wall Street protests, it's the same stuff. And I've noticed there's a lot of mind control groupthink going on. And there's, did you notice any Masonic rituals at yours? Because down here we caught them doing some, like, creepy little formation where they were making a pyramid inside of a circle and everything else. And
I was definitely completely disillusioned by the level of groupthink that is present there. I understand that you have to be on the same page to get something done, but this strikes me more as a follow the leader type situation. And, you know, I don't think a lot of these people really are aware of the fundamental causal dynamics that led us into this situation. And I think when you don't have knowledge, but you're very emotionally charged and willing to act, your actions can always be misguided by someone who does have knowledge, and it can always be led into a direction that will get you to trade one set of chains for another set. And that's my concern regarding the whole Occupy Wall Street, the whole Occupy movement in general, because in the conversations that I've had there, I've only seen a handful of individuals that really know the score, that really know the real important dynamics, and are even factoring in real consciousness into this equation. And I'm not saying there aren't any. There are some, but it's nowhere near the number that it needs to be. And the way that I see it being organized is definitely pushing a groupthink dynamic above the importance of the individual. You know, I keep telling people, yes, we need to be on the same page, but in understanding of the truth. This doesn't necessarily mean we need to play a follow the leader type game, and I'm going to do what he's doing because he said it's the way to go. It's the power doesn't really lie in numbers. The power lies in one, in becoming one. But this doesn't mean everybody being the same group hive mind. It means everybody becoming a true sovereign individual that knows their rights and really knows the difference between right and wrong. If that's done, if that happens, even if that happens on a scale that dynamic becomes the majority as opposed to the incredible minority that it is now, it will be game over for this dark New World Order, and we'll see a more positive world order come into view. But with the dynamic of groupthink in place, it's, like I said, it's no different than the false left-right paradigm that we have in politics now. And it'll be a group of people who, basically become the new power structure that will basically be, just changing the banner and changing the names, but it will really be same boss, new boss, same as the old boss. It'll be trading one set of chains of slavery for another set that, just have different colors, and maybe they're painted different, and maybe they have nice paint on them, but they'll still be chains. So that's what I think people have to really watch out for. To go back and transition this back into looking at specifically this time of the year and Satanism, I want to talk about the calendar of the dark occult.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get into. I wanted to get into, like, the, if you could, as much detail as you could. It's important for the people to get the information out, or, from you, because this stuff really happens, and there's not one or two or three ceremonies. I mean, there's actually a shitload. There's no other way to put it. And
right.
They literally do human sacrifices, I would say, at least half of these. So, and some of them take place around certain times of the year that people think are innocent holidays and stuff.
Sure.
And realistically, they have some sinister background. So please go
Absolutely.
Into as much detail as you can, Mark. Feel free to
Sure.
rant. Go on.
Well, the first thing you have to know about Satanism, like every other religion, it is based on astrotheology, believe it or not. And it is a solar cult and a Saturnian cult as well. The sun plays a gigantic role in every major religion, but no greater role than in what is termed the old religion. This is the oldest religion there is, okay? The cult of the sun. So, again, this is the cult of the dark sun, all right? The Aten in Egypt was considered the one god under Akhenaten's rule in 18th dynasty Egypt. But the Aten has different aspects or incarnations, I guess you could say, in the physical world, or at least on the earth. The rising sun or the rising solar disk, that's Horus. Okay? The solar disk at its zenith is Amen-Ra. That's why his name is invoked in prayer, Amen. You're sending the prayer directly upward to the zenith of the heavens. And then the dark sun is Set. Again, this is the force that conquers consciousness. Consciousness being Horus attempting to rise to its zenith position, which is the noonday sun when the sun's at its highest strength during the day. Well, Set is the setting sun. He's the force that blots the light out and sends it into the underworld at the end of every day. So, again, this is symbolic, okay? But Set is the principle that Satanism is built upon from the ancient world. Again, that's why one of the even deeper cults of Satanism in the modern world is the Temple of Set. I would say it's definitely more connected and has deeper roots into the political hierarchies and specifically military and intelligence than does the Church of Satan even. So the sun on the zodiac is how the ancients basically divided up the year. And I could even maybe send you a graphic of this chart to, you know, put up with the radio show or the podcast. But what you have to understand is how the ancients in this old religion depicted the yearly path of the sun on the zodiac, on the wheel of the zodiac, as they called it, because they put it in a circle and then quartered it according to the four seasons. Okay? So these quartering arms of this wheel to cut a circle into just quarters, you put a cross on it, okay, like a plus sign, and the circles around the plus sign. So the four points of that cross, the four arms of that cross, represent the equinoxes and the solstices. So what the equinoxes are the times of the year when the sun actually makes a 0-degree angle with respect of its plane of orbit, of the Earth's plane of orbit around the sun. And this is due to the tilt of the Earth. Okay? So the Earth is tilted at a 23.5-degree angle with respect to its orbital rotation around our star, the sun. Okay? When it's at a right angle to the sun, there is no angle that is made with respect to that plane of orbit. So that's at a 0-degree angle. And as such, the axial rotation of the Earth in respect to the sun, it forms an equal day-night pattern on the surface of the Earth. So, in other words, the shadow of night would actually be would intersect perfectly with the poles, the North and South Pole on those days. That's the best way to look at it, okay? So we have equal amounts of day and night during those two times of the year. So we have equal day and night at the spring equinox and equal day and night at the autumn equinox. This is actually what the word equinox means. It means equal night, okay? Equinox. So this is the horizontal arm of the zodiacal wheel. The vertical arm is formed by the solstices, which means the sun appearing to stand still, the sol or sun being still. Okay? So these are the two extreme points of the sun when the sun has reached visually its greatest angle that it is going to make with respect to the plane of orbit of the Earth. Okay? And this corresponds to its farthest northern trek into the northern hemisphere, its farthest position into the northern hemisphere during its yearly trek around the Earth's trek around the sun, and the farthest southerly visual position on the horizon. So the farthest north that the sun ever visually makes an angle with the Earth is 23.5 degrees above the equator. This is called the Tropic of Cancer, okay? This is the summer solstice. When the sun is as far south as it's ever going to be visually observed, it's the farthest into the southern hemisphere that it's going to go during the course of the year. This is the winter solstice. So when it's at 23.5 degrees south latitude below the equator, we have the winter solstice, which is when the sun is at the Tropic of Capricorn. So if you look at a globe, you'll see these two dotted lines above and below the equator. These are called the tropics, and the first, the northern one is at 23.5 degree north latitude. That is the Tropic of Cancer on the globe, and then the one that's 23.5 degrees south is the Tropic of Capricorn. So you can also visualize this simply as a sine wave. As the Earth orbits the sun, a sine wave pattern is created if you say this is when the sun is visually at the angle of orbit, the angle with respect to the Earth's plane of orbit is at 0 degrees. Then it would go up to 23.5 at the summer solstice, then back down at the fall equinox to zero, then at the winter solstice to 23.5 south, and then it would come back up to the at the spring equinox to 0 degrees again. So this sine wave pattern is the helical path of the sun with respect to the Earth's plane of orbit, how it appears from the Earth. This is the astronomy that you need to know to understand why the occult calendar or the traditional satanic slash Luciferian calendar, or let's just call it the old religion calendar, is set up the way that it's set up. There are midpoints to these four quarters or seasons, okay? Equidistant between the equinoxes and the solstices, you have four midpoints. These are more important holidays, if you will, or Sabbaths, as they call them. So the four minor Sabbaths, the lesser Sabbaths, are the two equinoxes, the spring and autumn equinox, and the two solstices, the summer and winter solstice. So I'll give you the dates. The spring equinox is March 19th or 20th. Okay, that's when the sun is at 0 degrees at the equator. Okay, the autumn equinox is September 21st or 22nd, when the sun is also at 0 degrees at the equator. The high point of the sun is the summer solstice at June 20th, 21st, when the sun is at 23.5 degrees north latitude or at the Tropic of Cancer. The winter solstice is at December 21st or 22nd, when the sun is at 23.5 degrees south or the Tropic of Capricorn. These are called the four minor Sabbaths or lesser Sabbaths. Sabbath simply means a holy day. Okay? We have the word Sabbath in the modern world. You know, Christians' Sabbath is on Sunday because that's a solar astrotheological religion. The Sabbath of Judaism is on Saturday. That's a Saturnian astrotheological religion. The Sabbath of Islam is on Friday, because that's a lunar astrotheological religion. So when we look at the zodiac, the quarters, okay, the four quartering points are the seasons, and the midpoints of those four quarters are the major Sabbaths. So we would have the midpoint of spring. Okay, the midpoint of spring is directly in the middle of the constellation Taurus. So spring consists of Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. And at the midpoint, we would be at the midpoint of Taurus, when the sun is in the house of Taurus. Okay? The bull. Now, there's a reason that this is the highest, quote, holiday or holy day of the satanic or Luciferian calendar. And again, Lucifer means light bringer, because this is ultimately about the sun, the masculine aspect of ourselves, okay, action, right, which can become control if it's overused or abused, the masculine principle. And it's about light or knowledge, because these people do have lots of knowledge about how things really work in nature. And they exploit that. They also understand how the human psyche works, and they exploit that knowledge to keep people under their mind control. So this entire religion is all about the sun, okay? And we can get into the names that they attribute to the sun god. The dark sun, okay, has become, they've used an ancient word for this dark sun god. I can get into that a little bit as well. Let me continue with the Sabbath points to explain what these holidays represent. The midpoint of the bull season, okay, which is Taurus, the bull, is May 1st, okay? May 1st is referred to as Walpurgisnacht, in Satanism specifically, St. Walpurgis' night, okay, who is a Christian saint that this day is named after. But in the older occult traditions, this Sabbat is referred to as Beltane. And there's specifically another reason that the word Bel is put in there, because that is, you know, when we talk about the dark god, the dark aspect of the sun, okay, the ancient name for this god in different cultures around the world, but specifically in the Middle East, was Bel, in the area of Phoenicia, Cana, and Akkad, and Assyria, and Sumer, and Babylon. This name, this phonetic variant, okay, even the word Babylon, the name Babylon, has this phonetic variant in it, Babylon, okay? Bil or Bel was the name of this god. And see, it doesn't matter in a lot of ancient tongues which vowel is used. Like in Egyptian or Hebrew, there really aren't vowels. There's consonants, and then the vowels could be the vowel sounds could be interchangeable between the consonants. So, Baal was one of his names. You probably heard of that name. And he was referred to as a bull because in the 4,000 years ago, during the time of, you know, the Babylonian priesthood, okay, the sun wasn't in the house of Pisces like it is now. It wasn't in the house of Aries, which is before Pisces, in procession. It was in the house of Taurus, the bull. So they worshipped the golden bull because it was the sun in Taurus. That was their god. This is why Satan takes on the appearance of a bull. This is why the Satanists who are in control of the world still worship a golden bull. That's their symbol for their money, their bull market. And that's the symbol of their god that is out there on Wall Street. There's not a reason why there's a golden bull out there on Wall Street, and it's why we have a bull market when things are going good for them. Okay? It's also why when you're in jail, you get to pay bail. And, oh, wait, we're paying bills. That's what we're trying to stay alive through doing, by paying bills. And what were we using to pay those bills? We're using bills. There's a reason that all of these things are named the same. This holiday is called Beltane. This is the highest satanic holiday there is. Actually, it's not even quite true. See, there's 8 Sabbaths. We'll get into the other 3. We've already talked about 5, okay? The 4 minor ones, the solstices and equinoxes, then the 4 major ones, okay? But then there is one other holiday that's different for everybody because it's your own birthday. Because again, the ego is worshipped in this religion, or is put on a pedestal at least, whether you consider that it's worshipped or not, I guess isn't really too relevant. It's still seen as the highest force in the universe. There is no higher power than the self physically. You know, and I'm not talking about higher self. I mean the ego-identified physical self is the god to a Satanist. Okay? So, there's a reason that you see this phonetic variation over and over again. Why Masons, whether they're positive light Masons or the dark form of Masons, of Masonry, they're called builders. Because you're either building with the light, the true light of the true sun, or you're building with the dark light of the dark sun. So it's all about the light. It's how it's used. It's how knowledge is used. Okay? So, builders, that term is named after this god. You have the Bilderberg group, which means the foundation of Bill or the house of Bill. Okay, bail, right? The bankers got a bail out. Okay, it's not just because that's a term used to mean a rescue. There's a reason that that's being used, because this is their god's name, and it's a bull god. Okay? It's connected with the whole concept of the bull god Moloch. Okay? Molech. The rituals that they conducted to this bull god in ancient Carthage and ancient Phoenicia Cana was a bull, and the bull god's name was Molech, and the rituals were called Molochs, and they did ritual sacrifices of children, immolations of children in these burners, these like huge clay and wooden constructed burners that they would erect in the form of a bull. And that's why there's a bull at Bohemian Grove. This is a symbolic variant of these ancient huge sacrifice burners that they killed children in order to ensure a harvest, a bountiful harvest, because this midpoint of spring is where a sacrifice would have been given to the earth.
And isn't the owl, that's not actually Molech, isn't the owl Minerva, I think?
Yeah, the owl really is connected with the concept of Inanna in the ancient Babylonian tradition and a Sumerian tradition, and it's connected with Semiramis in the Babylonian tradition. So, and an owl plays a huge role in the elites, or so-called elites, worldview, because it's a predatory bird that sees its prey at night while its prey cannot see its moves.
Yeah, the implied thing is it can see in the dark. It's illuminated.
Night vision.
Yeah, it can see what others can't, which is
kind of
what they have this inside knowledge that we don't have access to, or some of us don't have access to.
They're putting all of this right out there in the open, almost as a taunt, to say, look at how many places we can put this, and you still can't see it. That we call the money Bill, and we're using it to pay Bill. And when we need to have it to pay to get out of their holding, their control centers, we're saying we're paying Baal. Because that's what it's all about, giving energy to this god, Baal. That's their god. That's who their representation of energy. And they've turned money into that representation of life-giving energy that the sun actually is. They want us to identify with money as life force. And this is their creation. This cult in the ancient world created money. And it's what they have all of us doing, all of these horrible, immoral things to each other for. To get acquire this force, this illusory force that they call money, that they made, to help keep us alive. We think that's what actually will keep us alive. When it's actually leading us into our own grave, and unless we wake up in consciousness and turn this around. But that's become most people's god. It's their god, and by proxy, through the symbol of money and the energy that they have basically gotten it to represent in our minds, it's not actually that thing, but it represents that to most people. They believe it as if it were real. They've gotten us to worship their god through that. So this sacrifice season would be done in early spring up to this midpoint of spring, and it was a fertility rite to offer blood to the earth in order to have the gods that controlled weather and the growth of crops in their minds in the very ancient past give a bountiful harvest so that they would have a lot of food to sustain them through the dark season, which is the winter, where crops don't grow for about 6 months. Okay? So the favored season was very important, the time when the sun was in the northern hemisphere, because that would make or break the whole population for the year that the sun was in the southern hemisphere. Because that, again, that winter season, you know, that's called the season of death in the ancient world, because crops don't grow and you have to have a good harvest so you can put enough food away to sustain your population through the winter months. So Walpurgisnacht is the most important holiday for that reason, or Beltane, which means Bell's wheel. And this is called Bell's wheel because the sun is Bell. That's the sun god. He was a bull god because he was in the house of Taurus, okay? And that was the beginning sign of the zodiac 4,000 years ago, just like Aries is the beginning sign now, or the line between Pisces and Aries is actually the beginning sign now, but back then it was Taurus, okay? So that's the most important holiday other than one's own birthday. That birthday is considered a special holiday. So you don't do, you might do your own rituals or sending of energy during that time, but it's not a time of gathering. The other eight time periods are times of gathering. And I would say the solstices and equinoxes are definitely minor. They're not as much important as placed on those. And I would even say that there's a greater importance placed on two of the Sabbaths. And I would say that these are the ones that have to do with the sun's orientation with respect to the center of the galaxy. See, because the great sun is toward Scorpio. It's actually between Sagittarius and Scorpio. This is the supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy, which emits the most light, actually, because that's where the biggest clusters of stars are in our galaxy. So this is the central sun of the entire galaxy. And the Taurus line, actually the line between Taurus and Gemini, points away from the center of our galaxy. And I would say that if you had to pick one high holiday of the Satanic calendar, it would be the one that points toward Taurus, which is the Beltane. So this is notable because it's away from the light. Okay, it's away from the center of the galaxy, not toward it. The one that's coming up is the one that's toward the center of the galaxy, which is Halloween, which I'll get to in a moment. Let's move to the summer season. The midpoint of summer is Lammas. Okay, it's also referred to as Midsummer. This is August 1st. And I would say of the four major Sabbaths, it's one of the lesser ones in the major Sabbaths. The two big holidays are 6 months apart from each other, the spring and the fall season, the midpoints of the spring and the fall season. That's Beltane or Walpurgisnacht at the midpoint of spring on May 1st, and Halloween or the midpoint of fall on October 31st. So this is the next major Sabbath. It's called Halloween or All Hallows Eve, and in the older tradition, this language is, I believe, Gaelic, comes from the Druidic tradition. It's called Samhain. Okay, so Samhain, that's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, or Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, is October 31st. This is another high holiday in the occult, but I would say it takes secondary position to Beltane or Walpurgisnacht. The last Sabbath is February 2nd. That's the midpoint of winter, and that is referred to as Candlemas, and in the older occult tradition, that was referred to as Imbolc. Okay? So midsummer is like a celebration of the summer season. The sun is at its high point. Sometimes sex or fertility rituals could have been practiced there, but it's basically about harvest as well, because you're now harvesting the bounty that you laid down during the spring. All Hallows Eve, Halloween or Samhain, is a time of reflection because you're really getting ready to head into winter at that point. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of reflection. So you think about ancestors, the spirits of the dead. That's why it's called All Hallows, All Saints and Souls Day is right around this time in the Christian tradition. So it's like recognizing that you're going into the long dark night of the soul, because you're going into the long dark night of the winter season that lasts for a full 3 months. Okay, so winter's midpoint is Candlemas or Imbolc, and this was traditionally used as a time of predictions, of looking forward to the future. In the modern day, we have Groundhog's Day celebrated on this day, and it's about weather prognostication, right? The groundhog comes out of his hole, his cavern, his lair, and either sees a shadow or doesn't. We either have a longer winter or an early spring. So this is about basically looking toward the future, because brighter days are coming, because we're getting ready to, the sun's getting ready to come back up into the northern hemisphere again at the zero point at the spring equinox. So it's like, a point of saying the hard part of the winter may be over at this point, and the spring thaw is getting ready to come on, and we have to stick it out for several more weeks, and this could be the tough time of the year if there wasn't a great harvest, or if there was, again, this is a time to look forward to the coming spring. So that's traditionally what these holidays represent. And again, there's 8 of them in total, plus the birthday, which makes 9. And that's a significant number in the dark occult, 9. Okay, because 9, again, has significant properties numerologically. When you add it to anything, the ultimate value doesn't change. For example, 9 plus 1 is 10. 1 and 0, when you add them together, is 1. So you added 9 to 1, and you're back to 1. If you do this with any number, so like 9 plus 8 is 17. 1 plus 7, you're back to 8. You can do that with any number. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. When you add the result, you're always back to the same number. So this represents ego, because it's symbolically saying that you can't add 9 to anything and change the ultimate result. So like, if you want to affect change in the world, you can't really add ego to it and get any change. And this is what they want. They don't want the world to change. They want it to stay under their control. That's why they're worshippers of the ego, and that's why they're trying to perpetuate the ego worldview, the egoic worldview of everybody out for themselves, not caring about the suffering of others, because nothing will change if that's the worldview that we take. So another property of 9 is when it's multiplied, the value that you get always adds to 9. It doesn't matter what number you do it, even with decimals. Okay? 9 times 5, 45. 4 plus 5 is 9. 9 times 6, 54. 5 plus 4 is 9. 9 times 3, 27. 2 plus 7, 9. So this is saying, no matter if you multiply ego, if you multiply base consciousness, you only ever end up with more of it. You can never create any change that way either. Through multiplication, through the addition or multiplication of ego, you have no value change, and you have more ego. That's it. That's all it ever gets you. So it's a rat. It's like the concept of 9 is a rat running in a wheel. It's base consciousness. You're thinking you're going someplace, but you're going nowhere. Okay, this is why they have 9 of everything in the dark occult. 9 is their big number. That's why there's 9 holidays on the satanic calendar. They add that birthday to the eightfold pattern of the zodiac to get 9. And
what do you think of the number of the beast thing with 666? Well, I've heard that it actually means 999. And to tie that in, what do you think of Herman Cain's 999 plan?
Okay. I'll answer all of that. First thing is 666 and 9 are the same thing. Do the gematria reduction. 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18. 1 plus 8 is 9. So 666 and 9 are the same thing. That's why if you just look at LaVey in the Satanic Bible, he talks about 9 being the number of Satan. Or it might even be in the Satanic rituals. Okay? But he says 9 is Satan's number, but he never tells you about the gematria reduction of 666 being 9. 666 is the number of base consciousness, or ego, remaining in the state of being the dead, quote-unquote, because the three sixes represent thought, emotion, and action, and 6 traditionally in occult numerology is the number of incompletion. the number of falling short. Okay? It's the number of not being activated in this respect. So since there's three aspects of consciousness, we have a trinity within us, thought, emotion, and action. If they all remain dead or inactive, right, or not enlivened or being used in their higher potential, we are the beast, 666. Now, if we activate all of those, they go up by one. They come alive. They are activated. They go to the number in the occult that represents completion, which is seven. So we have three sevens. 777 would be the enlightened being, the enlightened human being, or what you could just call the true human being. You know, we have this idea that we're all human beings running around here on Earth, and nothing could be farther from the truth. Most of us are really imbued with an animal-like consciousness, a beast consciousness. The idea here is to create the human soul while we're alive on the earth. That's the journey, to create ourselves as a true human being by getting out of beast mode, 666. That's failure in thought, emotion, and action. That's the nine of ego, okay? That's ignorance, apathy, and laziness slash cowardice, the non-use of will. Okay, we have to develop intelligence, which is the proper use of thought. We have to develop true care, which is the proper use of our emotional faculties. And we have to develop true will and courage, which is the proper use of our actions, our active capacity. And if we don't do that, we remain as the beast, 666. Instead of becoming the true man, 777. So there's a number in the occult that represents the divine. And I mean the real creator of the universe, the infinite one, the infinite trinity, if you will. Okay? The infinite threefold aspect to everything. The 888, three infinity symbols. So if I told you that 888 plus 777 equals 999, you'd say check your math, right? But see, occult numerology doesn't just work through arithmetic, right? It works through reduction and substitution. So, see, 777 is the number that represents closeness with the Trinity or the activation of the three. That's why this concept of the illuminated one is the triangle with the awakened, enlightened eye in the middle of it, the all-seeing eye, or what would be our one eye. This is why they put this on money, to try to put that symbolism in our minds as money, okay? Because they call it the one eye, mon eye, mon eye, money. This is wordplay and symbol used in conjunction to get us to identify a concept with something that it has nothing to do with. Get that thing that has nothing to do with that concept in our mind and identified with that concept at a subconscious level. Because they want us to think that money is the path to enlightenment. They want us to think money is the one thing we should be working toward. But not the real awakening of the all-seeing eye within us. You know? They don't want that. They don't want the real one eye being awakened. They want you to just accept this as the proxy, the fake, in place of the real thing. So, to go back to the numbers, if we reduce 777, meaning add them together and then reduce the value to a single digit, we would get 7 plus 7 plus 7 is 21. 2 plus 1 is 3. There's the Trinity. So that's the high number of consciousness, 777, and it reduces to 3. Okay? 666 reduces to 9. And here's another concept, the number 93, the number of the will, of the power of free will. Falling short in that is 92. And that's why we had 9/11. You know, it's 92. Just add the two ones together.
And flight 93.
And exactly. 175 was the flight that went into the South Tower and started the chaos. And that is that started the real ritual in the open, the trauma-based mind control ritual of 9/11. It was a magic trick, okay? And the word of sorcery, okay, is abracadabra, and its value is 418. Now, 418 adds together to 13, and so does 175. So these are parallel ideas. They mean the same thing. 175 and 418 are equivalents.
And if you add 175 up, it equals 17 and 5. If you add them 13. Together, it equals 13. Wow.
Right. Just like 418 does, the number that represents Abrahadabra, the occult word of influencing great change, often in a chaotic way. And that's exactly what 9/11 was about. And that's the flight that started it, because that's the flight that hit the South Tower. Another number of chaos and a number of sorcery is 11, and that's the flight number that hit the North Tower. So going back to
7. And Flight 77, 7 is another number in this, you know, numerology hidden
that's
knowledge they have, right?
Two of the three sevens. Two out of the three means that care isn't present. That's who was directing the whole thing. The psychopaths who have enormous power of intellect, not holistic intelligence, but intellect, and have the will to act. Those two sevens are active, but there is no care, no real care, no empathy. And that's what they would need to conduct something like that, and that's the flight that allegedly went into the Pentagon, where the psychopaths who were really running this op, this psyop, were at.
Wow. And so, just when you start to look at this stuff, you start to apply it to the things they've done, you're just like, oh,
sure.
It falls out in your face. It's just
there's
right in your face, Mark.
So much to it, but once you put these pieces together, it makes so much sense. And I'm not grasping for straws or trying to make connections where they don't exist.
No, that's creepy that all of those
well-known occult concepts.
Yeah, they
well-known.
All add up to something, to occult concepts and tie into numerology. That is, I mean, that's not a coincidence.
What?
I don't believe in coincidences.
I beat myself up over this for so long because I bought 9/11 for almost a year after it happened. Knowing what I know about the occult, I was under such fear-induced mind control, even then in 2001, after I had gotten out of this and knew about this stuff, I still didn't see these connections for over a year. Mechanical engineering was my major in college, okay? And it took me over a year to go into the equations and take out my old books and actually do the math for myself to prove that these buildings could not have come down unless other forces were involved.
I know what you mean. I had to get over, I had survivor's guilt for years. And not until I got out of the military and I was watching, I remember seeing clips of the hearings on C-SPAN. And I started to hear them say things, and I was like, what? And I really didn't pay much attention to it. And then about 2 years later, I stumbled into it. Because pretty much I wanted to prove people wrong. I was like, all right, I know they lied and there's some shady stuff, but come on, you know, come on. And the more I researched it, the more I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, you know what? I took arson investigation for a year and a half. I took courses at the New Jersey State Fire College and at the Morris County Firefighters Academy for a year and a half. And I was a certified, you know, I had certifications as an arson investigator in the state of New Jersey. I could have gotten a job with a county or a city. And I went back through my fire and explosion guide, the NFPA guide. It's a guide that, you know, all the firefighting agencies in the United States go by.
Right.
When they do investigations, that's what they go by. And the NFPA doesn't have power like OSHA, but they kind of give, they're professionals that issue, say, these are the guidelines you should go by, and people go by them. And I went back through the book, and I just started going back over stuff that I'd already been trained in, and I was like, oh my God. They took the towers down with explosives.
Shows you how powerful their PSYOP operations are because of how much fear they inject. And if you're in fear, you're not thinking rationally because the fear is putting you into that fight or flight mode of the R-complex.
I agree. I 100% agree. And you were somewhat close to it as I was because I lived in North Jersey. That's where I grew up. And you're down around the Pennsylvania area, And that's not like, and I don't mean like the Western Pennsylvania area. I mean, you're closer right. to like New, you're closer to yeah. like Jersey. So I would, you, just like, you know, anybody that lived in the Poconos in that area, I would say within like 150, 200 mile mm-hmm. radius of the city, it was very different for those people yeah. than it was.
It was visceral because you thought it's quite possible something like this can happen here.
Yeah, right. and you were that close. It was different. Like you felt that feeling. I mean, where I was in Jersey, it was right across the river. We could literally smell the death from Ground Zero. And it was very, to as a trauma-based mind control event, it was very effective.
Sure.
Because, I mean, even to this day, look, they, case in point, when they killed Bin Laden, okay, and on 9/11 itself with this whole false, you know, oh, be afraid for a few days, and then it turned out to be BS, just like most of us were saying it was, okay, they tapped into that emotional pocket, that compartment that they created with that mind control, that trauma-based mind control, and they tapped into that compartment, and you see people waving flags, and nope. if you mentioned 9/11 truth, I mean, all the years past, people really weren't saying nothing. You bring up the 10th anniversary, all of a sudden it was, oh, you know, screw you, and that wasn't even a response that somebody might normally have. It was right. it was a programmed response, and they were playing off of that compartment from 10 sure. years before. They did it with the Bin Laden thing too. I mean, I know a lot of that, the parades and stuff were staged, but when he was the boogeyman that caused 9/11. He was the bad right. guy that caused that trauma to them.
Yep, it's a programmed reaction. They don't call it problem reaction solution for nothing. And I sometimes beat myself up for not seeing it on the first day, even with some of this knowledge. You know, it took me even almost a year, I would say, to start coming out of that trauma-based mind control that this PSYOP was all about. But I want to briefly go back to the numerology, because you asked about Kane's 999 plan, okay? And his name being Kane is pretty strange in and of itself that they're pushing this guy.
And he worked for the Fed.
Right. And 999 is the number of cosmic completion in the occult, because it represents the divine and the enlightened, awakened man, or human, I should say, in general, 777, merging, coming together. So this is the whole purpose for creation, is for the divine to imbue itself within humanity, to awaken its essence to higher spiritual life in general. So when we add 888 plus 999, I'm sorry, 888 plus 777, okay, or man is coming together with the divine force that's inherent in creation, the 888, the infinite. 7 plus 7 plus 7 is 21. 2 plus 1 is 3. So we can look at that. 777 and 3 are equivalent in occult numerology. So we can look at a 3 as 3 ones. 1, 1, 1. Okay? So since 777 reduces to 3, and 3 can be expanded to 1, 1, 1, we can substitute 1, 1, 1 for 777. Now just add that to 888, and you have 999. This is symbolically the number that represents the completion of everything. The raison d'etre, the reason for being, okay? And this is the will of creation. What creation has been attempting to do is to give, the will to bestow, as they call it in Kabbalah, to give of its essence to the creation, which has the will to receive, which is what Kabbalah means, to receive. And when that joining process takes place, the purpose of creation is fulfilled. So 999 represents the highest of cosmic completion. 888 merging with 777. Okay? And it is the inversion of the beast. The beast is conquered. 666 inverted is 999. This is why he's using this to promote his campaign. Psychologically, way down deep in the nested world of the subconscious. We understand symbolically, archetypally, what that number represents, even if we don't understand it at a conscious level. It's like ancestrally within us at a subconscious level, because these concepts have been talked about actually for time immemorial, back into the ancient past, and carried down through word of mouth, through the oral tradition. So this is what Cain is doing. He's putting this concept into something that he's selling to the public so that they buy it. We had been talking about numerology, and I kind of wrapped that up. So I wanted to just basically close by talking about some of the higher level dark occult hierarchies and where big, major meeting centers and rituals take place and are conducted. And the work I'd like to bring up as a reference is Fritz Springmeier and Cisco Wheeler wrote a book called Bloodlines of the Illuminati. And in it, Springmeier talks about a place in Belgium. Now, here's this word again. Here's this phonetic variant again. Belgium. Okay? This is the proposed center for world government in Brussels, right? The EU, which is basically the biggest centralized power on the globe. You know, I mean, you could say, yeah, the United States is the military arm of the, quote, New World Order, but the EU is probably the most centralized dictatorial political power in the world, anywhere on the earth. And their operational headquarters is in Brussels, in Belgium, a country which you wouldn't think exerts the kind of influence that it does, but that's where the EU is headquartered at. So the country is named after this god that we've been talking about. And the city that this place that Springmeier and Wheeler have documented is where some of the biggest occult, dark occult rituals take place at. And I'll get to the actual place in a moment. The city that it lies on the outskirts of is Bouillon. Now here's that word again. Bull. Bouillon. Or in other words, bullion. Like gold bullion. So it's a gold bull, right? The word bull is in bullion. That's why there's gold bullion, okay? The golden bull, bell, bell, bill. All of these phonetic variants of the same name, the same god. Just do some research on it. Look up bill, bell, bale, okay? And you'll understand. What are the odds that the city that this lies on the outskirts of, this place I'm going to talk about in a minute, is called Bouillon. There's that phonetic variation. In the country of Belgium. Okay? And the place is called Château des Amérois. Okay? And that's French, and it means the castle of the kings. And again, that's what these people refer to themselves as, the kings of the world. They're God here in their minds. And at this place, high-level rituals are conducted where there are sacrifices of people, mostly children, because, excuse me, they want the purest of human blood to use for their sacrifice. Fritzmeier and Wheeler also wrote another book called How to Create an Undetectable Mind Control Slave, where they talk about extensively trauma-based mind control. And their account of the Castle of Kings is borne out and verified by Arizona Wilder, who claims to have been at the Castle of King, what's called Mother of Darkness Castle, where she performed certain rituals and witnessed sacrifices taking place. Now, to me, there's no coincidence when you get down to their usage of words. Again, the world is ultimately controlled through words, okay? And if we just take this as something that is pure chance or coincidence, we're missing the bigger picture here. They name things specific ways to elicit specific responses and to imbue things with certain forms of energy. It's no mistake that all of those things that we talked about have this phonetic variation of bail, bill, bell in them. And there's even more than that that we can go into. But I think you see that there's, you know, it's way beyond coincidence. So I highly recommend Springmeier's work, those two books in particular. And I would recommend checking out whatever videos that you could, might be able to find on Arizona Wilder.
I have that book on ebook too. It's very. I haven't read it, you know, cover to cover, as it were. But I've skimmed through it, and it's really, really some creepy, creepy stuff. And again, this is goes back to Babylon. This isn't stuff that they just figured out years ago. This has been going on for thousands of years.
It's the old religion. That's why they call it the old religion. The New World Order is the same as the Old World Order. Only the names have changed. That's all it is. It's all the same methodologies for control over the human mind. I would recommend Kathy O'Brien's work on Transformation of America, her and Mark Phillips. Definitely check out Bryce Taylor, Thanks for the Memories. I would definitely take a look at a couple of the speakers from the Free Your Mind conference that I hosted here in Philadelphia in April of 2011. And we're very briefly touching upon thinking about, I don't want to make any promises, maybe doing something in late 2012. I don't know, but we're going to, some of the organizers are going to get together and meet and have some talks about this, and we're going to think about doing it again. But the two speakers that I'd put you on to that talked about ritual abuse and hard forms of mind control, one was Aaron McCollum, who was subject to different kinds of trauma-based mind control while in the military. And I would definitely highly recommend the presentation that Jay Parker gave at the Free Your Mind conference. Jay's a good friend of mine, and he really, really got into how they fracture the mind and how they maintain their control over the people within their cult system, because a lot of them just have grown up in this and have, this is all they've ever known. Jay happens to be one of the people in these family lineages who was subject to this type of torture and trauma, based abuse, but, had the strength of will eventually to come out of it and break away from, you know, the family members that, basically brought him into this in the occult, on his own and, you know, with minimal help. Like, Kathy O'Brien was brought out of it by a person in the CIA who developed a conscience when he realized that this stuff was going on and that the government was participating in these activities with these cults. Because ultimately that's who's running it. It's not the government. It's not that the government was looking the other way and just participating on the side with some of the people involved with Satanism and dark Luciferianism. Satanism and dark Luciferian is what's running the governments in all countries, in the highest echelons of power. This priest class is who's ultimately in control behind the scenes. It's not the other way around. It's not, you know, some government officials are involved in these little groups. This network and hierarchy goes up to the highest echelons of power. When you research it and you understand that, you know, that's what we have to get people to a wider understanding of. But it's so monstrous that most people don't want to go there because their mind goes to, my God, what is the world then? What is this lie that I've bought into about what I thought the world was originally? It's the world is nothing like what 99% of people think that it is. And I'm using that number for a very specific reason. Think about it. The 99% should take this under advisement and start doing some serious research and not care about what they may find along the line. They should go wherever the truth leads them. And this is documented. This is knowable. This is borne out by so many different sources. It's all about doing eclectic reading.
You know, I just realized while you were talking, 99%, 9 and 9 is 18, and 1 and 8 equals 9.
Sure. More than that, it's represents 2 of the 3 9s. Just like they have 2 of the 3 7s. They have care and they have the will to act.
Is that why they did the 7-7 bombings on 7705 rather than 777? Because that way it would only be 2 7s?
That's about killing care, ultimately. You know, that's about the will to act and knowledge being used by the controllers, the sorcerers, if you will, who have these two aspects, but they have murdered their own care. Again, that's why they do the cremation of care in front of the bull god, or quote, owl god. It's a dual symbol there at Bohemian Grove.
And isn't that in the 7th month? Isn't that in July they do that?
Yes, it is. Right. It's about killing care, ultimately. Now, the Wall Street protesters, they, I believe, have care. And they definitely have the will to act. They're out there trying to do something. But you know what? Without real depth of knowledge, that's always going to be able to be steered. A movement like that will always be able to be steered into directions where the people with the original intent behind it don't want it to go, because they don't have enough knowledge about what forces are really at work in the world and really lie behind the people who are ostensibly in power. And that's what we really have to be mature about and start looking into with an open mind, and not saying this is off limits for research or discussion, and we need to be eclectic about the research that we do and read from a wide variety of sources to get at the truth, not at what we are comfortable with, but the truth, no matter how disturbing it may be.
I agree, because you can't solve the problem and get rid of the disease if you only treat a symptom. You have to treat the entire disease.
That's right.
And right now the disease is Satanism. You know, I really think, I know a lot of people talk, you know, smack about Gunderson, and they say, oh, well, he was still a Fed and he did some screwed up things. A lot of people I've met in this, not everyone, but a lot of people I've met in the quote unquote truth community have done a screwed up thing here or there at one point in time. I don't know if maybe he was still partially, you know, loyal to certain, you know, feds. The one thing I'll say about Gunderson is, you know, in regards to that, yeah, I think he was a little maybe narrow-sighted because he didn't think Hoover was a bad guy. But you know what? From being in the military myself, I can understand how his brain could still be kind of, you know, tainted with that.
Right.
But the one thing Ted Gunderson will stand out for forever. In history and in my mind, is his work exposing Satanism in this country and how
sure.
deep ingrained it is into our society and our government.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. One other quick thing, if anyone wants to take a look at the Castle of the Kings to verify its position, you can go right on Google Earth and just type in Amerwa. That'll get you there. Amerois, Amerwa, and it'll take you to Amerwa, which is this castle that is just outside, I believe it is just southeast of Bouillon, Belgium, and it is north of Muno, Belgium, M-U-N-O. So check that out. Check out those Free Your Mind videos that I told you about, the presentations by Aaron McCollum and Jay Parker. You can check those out along with a presentation that I did on occult symbolism in military and police institutions. All of those videos, and even all the other speakers that spoke at the conference, all of those videos are up for free at the conference website at freeyourmindconference.com. And check out Springmeier's work, check out Arizona Wilder, check out Kathy O'Brien, and there's many other researchers that you can look into on these topics. Just do your own homework and, you know, keep an open mind before you draw conclusions, and just realize that we're never going to solve this problem by dealing in the world of effects. We need to rise to the plane of causality and address the underlying conditions in consciousness which have led us into the situation we're in, if we're ever going to come up with a true effective solution for real, lasting, positive change. So I'll leave everyone with that. Check out my website, whatonearthishappening.com. I do a radio show on Oracle Broadcasting every Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Check that out. And the podcasts are up on my website. They're all free and always will be. And, Popeye, I want to thank you once again for having me on. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you for coming on, Mark. It's an honor to have you on. And I am just grateful for you to, you know, take time out of your day to come on and educate my listeners about what's going on. And for you guys that don't know, Mark does a show the same time that I'm on air on Sundays over on Oracle. So when you're done listening to me, and you know, a lot of you I know listen to Joe Joseph and everything after me, so once you're done listening to Orion, go over to Oracle's website and grab Mark's archive, and don't just listen to it. I suggest you rip it and download it and archive it. And he always puts in, you know, what he talked about, and put a little, you know, just give it a little title so you know, and a date or whatever. But I rip Mark's archives and listen to them. So I'm telling you, you should go rip his archive and listen to it as well. You know, there's everybody complains that usually by around 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night on the weekends for the weekend shows, sometimes they don't find anything interesting on. Well, go rip his show and listen to it. Or if during the week you got nothing better to do, you're at work, you can put it on your phone and just, you know, play it and play it on the speaker or your little headset and just listen to what he's talking about. Okay, if you have to go back a couple times and listen to the same show, do it. But really, I listen to his stuff. Everybody wonders where I get my knowledge about. I mean, Mark's not my sole source, but he helps not only verify stuff that I know, but if there's something I don't know, he goes into detail. That's one of the reasons I brought him on today. That, and Mark's a friend of mine, so I like to hang out with him, but mostly just to give you guys info. So again, Mark, thank you so much for coming on my show. I really appreciate it. And is there anything coming up, any speaking engagements that you have that you might want to plug or anything?
No, there was a potential one. I don't think it went through. There might be something that I'm going to be doing in the near future, and I'm planning a presentation that I'll probably announce on my show and a venue I have in mind. Nothing firmed up yet, but finalize a venue, I'm probably going to be doing a presentation called Heart Control, which is something I want to have been wanting to put together. We talk a lot about mind control, but we don't talk about how we're emotionally controlled very much. This is arguably an even greater form of behavioral control, control through the emotions. One of the main places, of course, this is exercised is in the identification with family members who do certain activities and not being able to see how they're actually breaking natural law and abusing people's rights because they are our family members. This is why so many people who have family members who are in the military or in police institutions never really come out of the mind control of the acceptance of these institutions and what they are doing, their immoral actions, because they are identifying with the love of the individual in their family, as opposed to being able to be detached enough from looking at their relationship with the individual and see the individual's actions and judge them on a true moral basis. So I'm going to put a whole presentation together on what I term heart control, or it's a form of emotional mind control. But as I said, I don't have a venue definitively set up, but I will pretty soon. And I can roughly say that'll probably be coming up within the next month or two, and I'll announce it on the show. One other quick thing, I do host monthly screenings for a group called Truth, Freedom, Prosperity in the city. The last Wednesday of every month here in Philadelphia, Barb and I get to pick a film that we want to show the community here in Philadelphia. And we have a nice screening room at a place called Media Bureau, who lets us use their screening room that they usually use for screenings of independent films as part of the Philadelphia Independent Film Festival. But they make their screening room available to the group Truth, Freedom, Prosperity, who Barb and I both work with in Philadelphia. And we do a documentary screening at the end of the month, the last Wednesday of the month. This month, on October 26th, we're going to be showing a film called Defense Against the Psychopath, which is very appropriate because of what we were talking about in this broadcast tonight. And it's all about what psychopathy really is, how widespread it is in our society, what the traits and behavioral characteristics of a psychopath are, and what we can do to mitigate their chaotic influence in our society and in our world. So it should be a very enlightening film, and we'll have a discussion afterward. But that's an ongoing thing. So anybody in the Philadelphia area, if you're not doing anything on the last Wednesday of the month and you want to come out and check out a great documentary film that you might not otherwise have ever even heard about, come on out to Media Bureau, and you can check out more about that on my website, or you can go to truthfreedomprosperity.org and check out the meetup for the last Wednesday of the month for the free documentary screening and discussion night. So that's all I have. And, Pop, I want to say thanks again, and I want to say thank you for what you are doing, because it's all about putting this information out there and having a venue for the discussion, the open discussion of ideas like this. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I that's what I try to do. I try to dedicate my show to talk about the things that other, you know, truth tellers or, you know, talk show hosts or bloggers or whatever. Obviously, the mainstream media is not going to talk about it, but I try to talk about stuff that even they don't talk about much, because I don't want to waste the listeners' time with useless info. And this is stuff that does not get talked about and should be talked about more. And again, that goes back to the whole religious dogma thing. I think that really blocks a lot of smart, intelligent people from looking any further than a certain point. So, Mark, thanks again for coming on.
Anytime, man.
Anytime you need anything, let me know.
Will do. Same here, man.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, Mark.
You have a good one, man. Take care.
Take it easy, brother.